your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses there. And as I mentioned, we were going to talk this morning a little bit for a few minutes about inheritance. And the first time we read of inheritance is found in Genesis 15, when God spoke to Abram saying, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees," or the land of sin, "to give thee this land to inherit it." Praise God. Now, the general terms of inheritance, according to the Strong's Greek Concordance, include the following. Inheritance is a means of descent. It is occupancy, an assignment, a privilege, patrimony, meaning property inherited from one's father or ancestors. And the tradition of passing along inheritance to a person's family is basically, it's universal, and it is in almost every single country and culture in this world as a means of transferring wealth and to others' descendants and to keeping that wealth within the family unit. How much more? We as Christians know that we have a far greater spiritual inheritance than anything that your parents or your grandparents or whoever could have ever bestowed upon you. And I don't think I can stress enough this morning how vitally important it is that we know the inheritance which is ours in Jesus Christ. So if you're in Galatians 4, we're just going to read the first 7 verses. Paul wrote, "Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Yes, thank the Lord. You know, the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, you were made an heir to all the riches of heaven. That very moment. Let that sink in for a minute, saints. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became an heir of all the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, although as we were babes, I think most of us were babes when we first got saved, we didn't know. We didn't understand. We weren't capable of comprehending what that really means. We were no different than a servant. You've got to serve God. You've got to do this. You've got to earn that. But Paul states, you were a little Lord of all, and you just didn't know it. See, our Heavenly Father, and we know this, he doesn't want us to remain babes. His heart's desire and his plan for us, sweethearts, is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of his precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we mature spiritually, we begin to understand the wealth that is ours as heirs of Christ. As we study the Word, as we stand on the Word, it becomes more real and more powerful to us. You know, in the natural, I don't think there's any greater joy than to see a young couple who's starting their family, watch their children learn and grow from the nurturing and the teaching and the guiding and the caring that they provide their children. I have two children, Michael and Lauren. You all know them. They are my pride and joy. And it's not because they're just my children. But when Michael and Lauren were young, they didn't know that they were my heirs. They had no concept. It wasn't even a topic that I could introduce them to because they were too young to understand it. The only way they knew, the only thing that they knew was that you're my mommy and daddy. They needed to grow up. And I couldn't be more proud of Michael or Lauren as their earthly father, because they have taken the word for themselves and they've grown up in it. They know the bridal message. They know who they are in Christ and the inheritance that has been laid up for them in heaven, in glory, eternal by Christ Jesus. Did they do anything to earn that? Neither can we. You know, I think how sad it is to withhold such an important scriptural truth as inheritance. You know, it's spiritual robbery. It really is. And unfortunately, there are many Christian assemblies today that either don't know this doctrinal truth of spiritual inheritance, or don't understand it, or choose not to preach it, or if heard, they choose not to believe it and accept it. Or if they do believe it, they think there's something they got to do to earn it. Michael and Lauren did not and cannot ever do anything to earn the inheritance of our estate. It's just so minuscule compared to the inheritance that's waiting all of us in glory. As I was writing this, two examples came to my mind in Scripture. Esau. We know about Esau. Now, he knew that by tradition that he was first in line to receive his father Isaac's inheritance. But Esau didn't value it. And what's worse, he didn't want it, and he despised it. He hated it. But his brother knew the value of the birthright. He saw it. He knew that Esau didn't want it. So Jacob's mother, Rebekah, the bride for Isaac, she's the one that devised the plan. And yeah, did they collaborate to deceive? Yeah, they did. And some people criticize that and condemn that and judge that. But you know, I've thought about it a lot. And I believe that God condoned this plan because he would not allow a man like Esau to receive the inheritance that he so despised. But he blessed Jacob. Consider the second example. How about that foolish son? He went to his father and said, "Give me my birthright. Give me my portion." And what did he do with it? He went out and wasted it in worldly lusts and with foolish friends who weren't even believers. And when he returned to his father, "Just let me be a servant in your house." His father would have nothing to do with it. "You're my son. You've squandered it, but you're still my son." Precious hearts, we need to know, and I think we all know to some degree, who we are in Christ. This inheritance that we have been given, we need to cherish it. We need to possess it all. Everything that he has already given to us by birth. We didn't earn it. We could never earn it. And doing so, making that claim is not being arrogant. It's not being braggadocious. It's just a fact. It's your birthright. And all of it has been paid by the blood of Jesus. Now is the time appointed by the Father to claim the full inheritance which we have been freely given by the Father in Christ. You know, I thought it was interesting, that word inheritance, it appears a lot in Scripture. 239 times to be exact. And only 15 of those times it appears in the New Testament. And the number 15 has to do with rest. Just rest in it. Just take it all. Just rest in it. It's already been given to you. It's yours. As we say, we have a title deed on high, prepared. Prepared for us, reserved for us, and secured for us, where thieves can't steal, where rust and moth can't corrupt. And there is a crown of righteousness in glory that's waiting for everyone here, for all those who believe. There's nothing more I can say. It's just too wonderful. So by God's grace, I can almost see those crowns on each and every one of you. Perhaps today.